Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalava Giribhanu Dari Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandanam Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tera Vanchari Ajamuna Tera Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banadari Yasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Vajamunda Tira Banachari Vajamunda Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tera Banachari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jaya Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam.
Jaya Nitya Lila Plivista Astatara Satasi Siman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Kira Prems Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivedanta Kira Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shama Kundarada Kundigira Govardhan Kira Granthraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Kira Gaura Bhimanandi All glory Sri Asimal Devotees All glory Sri Asimal Devotees All glory Sri Simal Devotees. All glory to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Well, if they took the shoes, they're not here. Somebody's missing shoes. If you took the wrong shoes, please return them. Okay, refocus here. So reading from today from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 20, text number 52. Tapasya vidyaya yukto. This thing on? All right. Tapasya vidyaya yukto. Yogena Shushamandina Vishin Rishi Rishikesha Sazarjabi Mata Praja Tapasya Vidyaya Yukto Yogena Shushamadina Rishin Rishi Rishikesha Sasarjabi Mata Praja Tapasya Vidyaya Yukto Yogena Shushamadina Rishin Rishi Rishikesha Sasarjabi Mata Praja. Please chant. Students. Tapasa, by penance. Vidyaya, by worship. Yukta, being engaged. Yogena, by concentration of the mind in devotion. Susamadina, by nice meditation, which poses the question, what would bad meditation be or unnice meditation? Anyway, Rishin, the sages, Rishi, the first seer, Brahma, Rishikesha, the controller of the senses, the controller of his senses, Sasaja, created. Abhimata, beloved. Praja, sons. Translation. Having equipped himself with austere penance, adoration, mental concentration, and absorption in devotion, accompanied by dispassion, and having controlled his senses, Brahma, the self-born living creature, evolved great sages as his beloved sons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The ritualistic performances of sacrifice are meant for material economic development. In other words, they are meant to keep the body in good condition for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. But for actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. What is essential is vidya, or worship of the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the word yoga is used to refer to gymnastic performances of different bodily postures which help mental concentration. Generally, the different bodily postures in the yoga system are accepted by less intelligent men to be the end of yoga. But actually, they're meant to concentrate the mind upon the supersoul. After creating persons for economic development, Brahma created sages who would set the example for spiritual realization. Om Agyanatam Adandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmelitam Enatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Avancha Kapatirubhyastra Kripa Sindhu Bahebacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature. As someone very near the front here perked up when we recited the name Rishikesh, the definition given is one who has controlled his senses. Yes? Okay. We'll check with your mom later on that. So, it's interesting. The word at the end of the verse here, Abhimata, it translates as beloved. And it is used prior to the indication of sons. When I saw this word, of course, immediately Mata, the word for mother, came to mind. But the two shouldn't be confused. They're not the same word. But it is noteworthy, the similarity between them, because the word Mataha, or Mata, means beloved. And approved, and the feelings that Brahma had for his son with this, and this is, of course, what the mother has for the sons also, beloved and approving of them like that. Okay, anyway, it was just something that caught my mind there. So here we are, another step closer to the end of this chapter, and that hopefully means that we're another step closer to achieving our goal of pure devotional service. This is the reason for studying Srimad Bhagavatam, to attain pure devotional service. As the verse I read from the Krishna Lila Stava says, the very syllables of Srimad Bhagavatam shower love of God. So this is why we have the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us of Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, daily studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have these classes everywhere in the world where there is one of Prabhupada's temples. We have this daily study of the Bhagavatam. Sometimes the Bhagavat Saptaha, 7 days of studying, reciting the entire Bhagavatam is there, and then the persons go away. But here we see that Prabhupada has given us the standard of daily studying the Bhagavatam because those syllables shower love of God. And love of God is the goal of why we're all here, why we're going through everything we're going through, why we're doing what we do, so that ultimately we can attain love of God. So this verse 52 is the second to last verse in another chapter that will hopefully fill us with a little anticipation. Now, I know all of our students here, they're very anxiously anticipating and counting the days left till they reach their goal, the end of the year holiday break. Yes? Yeah, everybody's enthusiastic about that. So now imagine, if you will, that same anticipation. Oh, just another week, we're out for the what is it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, a month? I don't know. It depends on your grade level, I guess, how long you're out for. But at any rate, just imagine if we had that same anticipation for getting prema, love of God. That anticipation of, oh, I'm on holiday, I don't have to get up every day and go to school, could be transferred to, oh, I actually am eagerly awaiting the development of love of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? It would be such a nice thing. I was recently in Vrindavan for a month. Very, very wonderful time. But of course, going to Vrindavan means a very long airplane flight. How many of you have been to Vrindavan, the students? Not so many, so you'll get that opportunity. So, very long airplane flight, and then at the end of that flight is great anticipation, the desired hope, great joy. And no, I'm not talking about getting to the Holy Dham. I'm talking about the anticipation of gathering your luggage after the flight is finished. And you're not alone in this either. All the passengers that were on that flight with you, 300, 400, it's amazing how many people they can shove into these planes. Of course, nobody's comfortable, but that's a different story. So all of them, everyone is standing there in front of this magical moving beltway which will deliver your bags. You're watching, you're hoping, you're desiring, oh, will my bag be first? Oh, no. Well, at least don't let it be last. You're looking, you're remembering the color of your bag, you're remembering the size of the bag. Maybe you've adorned the bag with some particular chacha so that you'll remember what, I'd be able to distinguish your bag separately. Thinking about what you have in those bags and how you're going to use that over the next month. Completely lost in a hopeful remembrance. It's the closest we can get in this lifetime to pure anticipation, I would put forth. Everyone's in that same mood. Now, on my recent trip, my bags didn't make it. Everyone's bags came. Everyone left. But mine weren't there. So I went to the baggage claim counter. I filed some paperwork for my missing bag. I was feeling very dejected. You know, just like I'd lost something very valuable. You know, if you lose your Joppa beads, like, oh, where are my Joppa beads? What did I do with them? I set them down somewhere. So I was feeling very much like that. And so the individual behind the counter, they looked at the paperwork and said, oh, we found it. Your bags are in London, which is interesting because I never went through London, but my bags did. Apparently, they wanted to see Big Ben or, I don't know, something. So anyway, they said, however, the bags will be here very soon, so don't worry. That next flight is coming in 1 hour. So just go and have a seat over there. So all right, sat down. 1 hour later, the great anticipation of gathering my luggage came all over again. But this time, the desire, the hankering, the hope was even more intense because I'd already missed the opportunity once. Will this be the time? Oh, I missed it before, but will I actually get my bags this time? Again, standing in front of that magical moving beltway that will deliver my bags, I watched, I hoped, I desired. I didn't even care if mine were first this time. No, just I don't even care if they're last. Just let them come. Again, looking. Again, remembering the color. Again, remembering the size. But then, with no fanfare, no effort on my part, my bags arrived. How happy I was. How satisfied it was. Life had meaning again. Everything was complete. Now, you may think, boy, Chaturama is really over-dramatizing this. I guarantee you I am not. This is exactly the intensity of the feelings that a passenger feels when their bags are lost and they're hankering to get them back. Have any of you had this experience, lost baggage? Yeah, a couple of you had. Some hands are up there. Yeah. Now, imagine, if you will, for a second, that we substitute your bags for love of God. You're standing there in front of the deity, who, by the way, while all of us are quite chilly today, Krishna's got on a really, really snappy-looking warm jacket with a nice furry lining. Not fur, but, you know, looks very beautiful. So you're standing in front of the deity, anxiously awaiting, standing in front of your guru, anxiously awaiting, remembering Krishna's color, remembering Krishna's look, remembering the pastimes of Krishna that you particularly like, standing there with your other friends, everyone just together there. Is this my turn for love of God? Oh, no, that's just a shadow attachment. It's not the real thing. Oh, look. Do I get love of God now? No, that's just adoration and praise coming my way. Oh, will my love of God ever arrive? So you go to the guru. You file the claim. When will my love of God be coming? I'm anxiously awaiting it. I don't see it. And the guru says, oh, don't worry. It's on its way. You just go over there and sit and chant. And then it will come. So there's a very real similarity between these two incidents, that we can actually appreciate the anticipation, the aspiration, the desire that we have in order to develop that love of God that Krishna Lilastava describes. This is a necessity for us. So in this chapter, we see that Brahma has done everything. He's tried to do his service. He has the responsibility of creating the universe. Not only creating the universe, but creating the situation for all those living entities that are going to manifest in the universe and all of the desires that they have. Once the creation is dissolved, the living entities don't stop. They go into a dormant state, and then they come back out again. And desires, mixed types of karma, the mixtures of the different modes of material nature are all there, still impacting and waiting to continue to impact the living entity. So Brahma has to create all these situations. That's why in this past chapter we've seen some pretty awkward scenarios. And Bhagavatam doesn't mix words, as we've heard over this last chapter. All the different types of desires and all the different types of circumstances that we see, they had to be created. Some of the creations were not for the best interest of the living entity. But in spite of all that, Brahma gathers himself very strongly and keeps his service focused. This is a very important thing because we are meeting obstacles on a daily basis. Things that get into the path of our developing love of God, that get into the path of our becoming Krishna conscious, try to insert themselves between us and the instructions of our guru. And then those things have to be overcome. And that takes being focused. So Brahma does this. He meets all these obstacles, and we've heard them in this past chapter. He keeps them focused. As we say in one devotee group that I'm a part of, he keeps the main thing the main thing. This is the process. We have to keep the main. What is the main thing? Always remember Krishna and never forget him. Now, how we do that? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Satyam, Akyam, Nivedanam. There are different processes. Prabhupada says there are 9 processes. Take one or take all 9 and develop that. So he gathers these qualities which are mentioned here, and there's 6 specific qualities mentioned here that Brahma gathers that can be instructive for us. The first one, who's going to count for me? You're right next to me, you get to count. All right, so the first one, austere penance. Second one, adoration. Third one, mental concentration. Fourth one, absorption in devotion. Fifth one, accompanying those with dispassion. And the sixth one, control of the senses. So these six qualities, Brahma reinforces their presence in his activities. Austere penance. Now, for some of us, austere penance will mean one thing, and for others, it'll mean another thing. I have a friend here in this community that every single Ekadasi, he completely fasts nirjal. There's probably many devotees that do that. Nothing, not a single thing. From the night before till the next morning of. That's pretty austere. That's a penance. Penance means to do something for a higher cause. So for some, getting up in the morning, taking a cold shower every day. A cold shower, you take cold water? That's the austere penance for others. Sitting on the floor like this. When you show non-devotees an assembly of Vaishnavas and they're all seated on the floor, they're like, you guys don't have furniture? You can't afford any furniture? You need a donation to buy a chair? No, but this is an austerity. So all of these different types of things that we do following Ekadasi at all, what to speak of doing in nirjal, these are different things. So adoration. Is he adoring himself? You know, look in the mirror and all, makeup's on fine, the hair is combed perfect, all the teeth are just, okay. No, adoration of that Supreme Personality who he is doing his service for. Mental concentration. Mental concentration is mandatory. We have to focus our mind, Prabhupada says. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. This is in the story of Ambarish Maharaj. It's a very famous quote. Prabhupada quotes this verse many, 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 many times. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo. That focusing the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Absorption in devotion. Absorbing us in a mood of service. Be sure and close those doors as the last one goes out them. Thank you. And accompanying those qualities with a mood of dispassion. In the three modes of material nature, passion is there. It's in the middle. It's not the worst. It's certainly not the best. Always something going on and active and very on, and, you know, maybe not with any focus even. Dispassion means to be free from that mood, to be equipoised, to be stable. And then finally, what's the last one? It's your name. Controlling the senses. Controlling the senses. This is essential. We have to control the senses. This is why Prabhupada gives us the principles that we follow. For instance, only eating Krishna Prasadam. This time of year, for those of us that are in the workplace, this time of year means copious amounts of Christmas cookies in the break room at work. Unlimited amounts of Christmas donuts and cakes. Vast amounts of Christmas hot drinks, all of which have not been offered to Krishna, and 99.9% of which have unmentionable ingredients in them. But you're in the workplace. It's all right there in front of you. Controlling the senses, no. Oh, yes, it smells good. Now, I can assure you from experience, not all of the smells in the lunch break room at a place of working are pleasant. But I will say that the smell of fresh cookies and donuts is a pretty nice smell. But we control the senses. So These are the six qualities that Brahma reflects on, embraces, and moves forward with. So then, in that focused state of mind, Brahma then begins the apex of his creation, we could say. All of these other things, how does Prabhupada say it here? The ritualistic performance and sacrifices are meant for material economic development. In other words, Brahma has spent all of his previous time making all these arrangements for developing the world and for this and that and all these different facilities for those in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, he's grasped these six qualities, brushed this off. We see in this chapter a lot Brahma dismisses a particular mentality or a particular type of creation. He throws it off, as the word is used many times. And he begins to focus. He's going to now create, what's the word? The best of all beings, evolved great sages. Now, it's interesting, adjectives. You've all learned about adjectives in school. Adjectives means words that do what? Who can tell me? Huh? Describe. Give a better understanding of. Enhance the understanding of. That's a jacket. That's a blue jacket. That's a very warm blue jacket. So there we've enhanced the word jacket and giving a much deeper meaning to it. So here, Brahma has created not just sages. Sages are wonderful. Sages are thoughtful. They're, you know, powerful. They can set examples. So not just sages, but great sages. Great sages. Who can name a great sage for me? Some great sage. Any sage? Augusta Muni. Durvasa Muni. Yes. On the other side of the room there. Huh? Yes. So many different types of great sages. But not just sages, not just great sages, but evolved great sages. So we have a noun, sages, and two adjectives, great and evolved. So this gives us a broader understanding of what kind of sages these were. So these were great sages that were evolved in their thinking beyond just doing penance, beyond just mental concentration. And what was their purpose? Everyone has a purpose, just like back to our example of the blue jacket. Of the warm blue jacket. It's going to keep us warm. On a day like today, everyone goes for that extra layer. I went deep into my closet this morning and pulled out my pure wool brown sweater. Not just a sweater. Not just a brown sweater, but a wool brown sweater. And not just wool, but pure wool, because it's very warm. So that means that that's what the purpose of that sweater is for. Now, so what is the purpose of these evolved great sages? The verse tells us here, Prabhupada gives us, to develop or change gradually, the word evolved, this is what I wanted to examine, the word evolved, to develop or change gradually over time, often becoming more complex, more adapted, and more sophisticated, applying to species, technology, ideas, and here's the key part, personal growth. Big, huge movement in the world, personal growth. YouTubers and TikTokers and all kinds of people giving all kinds of advice on how you can be a better person, a better version of yourself, a higher quality version of who you are. So this is what the word evolve means, to evolve. Are you ever going to evolve beyond just being whatever? So this is what the word means. Now, here we look in our path of devotional service. And what do we want to achieve in our path of devotional service? We want to evolve to a better version of ourselves. We don't want to stay just like we were when we first accepted devotional life. I remember that day I walked into the temple in 1973. Hi, I'd like to join. All right, great. We don't want to stay there. We want to move onward. I was fortunate. I thought all temples were like this, but in the temple I was in, we had five classes on five different shastras, 5 days a week. Wonderful. It was helping us evolve to become a better version of ourselves. Now, Prabhupada makes a seriously strong statement in this purport here. The ritualistic performances of sacrifice are meant for material economic development. Okay. In other words, they are meant to keep the body in good condition for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. If one is completely overwhelmed with ill health, it's hard to focus on being Krishna conscious. If one is constantly in economic strife, it's hard to focus on Krishna consciousness. But these ritualistic performances that have been mentioned in this chapter, they're there to help us get that proper material development that help keep the body in good health for cultivating spiritual knowledge. Then Prabhupada inserts the caveat. Everyone, do any of you know what a caveat is? I won't say everyone. Do any of the students know what the word caveat means? Okay. You can have an extra half hour of reading time if you get a passing grade on your social studies exam. So that's the caveat. You go, oh, extra time for reading, whatever I want, if you get a particularly good grade. So Prabhupada gives us a caveat in this. But for actual attainment of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada delves into the concept of yoga here. Not just yoga, not just book knowledge, not just dedication. All right, then what? What is it that we need beyond that? Prabhupada continues and gives us the answer. That's the wonderful thing about Prabhupada's purports, his Bhaktivedanta purports, as he liked to say. He never leaves it with a question. Oh, you know, I read it, but I just didn't know what to do after that. No. Prabhupada gives very clearly what to do. He says right here, so for actual development of spiritual knowledge, other qualifications are needed. What are those other qualifications? What is essential is vidya, or worship of the Supreme Lord. So if you want to develop your devotional mood, if you want to develop your spiritual knowledge, if you want to ultimately develop love of God, you have to worship the Supreme Lord. Vidya, worship. Seva. This is a very important word. It gets thrown around quite often, but does anybody really understand what it means? Not seva to society, not seva to our pets, not seva to our community. Those things are all good, and they've all got their place, but seva to Krishna, service to Krishna. When I was a young boy, my dad got a dog for the family. My mom wasn't very keen on this idea. First of all, the dog was strictly prohibited from coming in the house. My mother had that understanding. Second of all, she said, okay, because I have five siblings. Well, there were five siblings, so five of us. So my mother said, all right, know this, I'm not taking care of the dog. You kids have to do this. This is your responsibility. She knew what was going to happen. So, and of course, ultimately she was right. The dog didn't stick around very long because we didn't fulfill our service responsibility. Now, don't worry. We didn't have the dog put down. We had friends that had a 25-acre farm, and the dog went to live on the farm. And I'm sure the dog was much happier on that 25-acre farm than in a little suburban yard. The point being, we had a responsibility of service, which we neglected, and therefore we lost the focus of what that service was meant for. So we have to embrace the responsibility of service to Krishna. This is very essential. We don't want to lose that opportunity we have to serve Krishna. And that is a part of your educational training. It's actually a part of all of our training. In the Gurukula, in our devotional families, in our devotee community, service to Krishna is what we're trained for. It's what our focus is. It's what we do with ourselves, what we do with our time. Just like Brahma here. He had to populate the entire universe. according to the desires of so many different personalities, according to so much karma that was being carried around, according to all of the wantings of the jivas. But after all that was said and done, he refocused on these six qualities. Let's revisit those six qualities again. Where's my counter? Austere penance, adoration, mental concentration, absorption in devotion, accompanying these with dispassion, and controlling of the senses. So Brahma focused himself again on these six qualities within and by his practical activities. And then, as the verse says, Brahma then created the sages who would set an example for spiritual realization. Very important. This is the meaning of acharya. One who lives, one who teaches, one who acts their example. You can look to an acharya and know what to do with yourself, what your example is, what your behavior is. This is the duty of a disciple. This is the duty of sons and daughters. This is our duty as devotees, to set an example of a self-realized person who wants to find Krishna, who wants to see Krishna everywhere, who wants to be filled with as much anticipation, as much eagerness as we have when we're standing there at that baggage claim waiting for our bags. We want that much focus on developing our Krishna consciousness. Because, as it says here, set an example. We, by these activities of the bhakti process, by these instructions of the guru, by these words of Krishna in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, we are to be an example for society. Prabhupada wanted this, that his followers would be examples, that people would look to us and understand how to behave properly, what to do, what not to do. Now, some persons, they may follow some quasi-religious principles. They may follow vegetarian diet. They may have some practice of yoga. These are all very good things. But unless they're used to bring one to the level of developing prema, developing love for God, then they're not that beneficial in and of themselves. Prabhupada said in more than one place that it's not that we're proud of being vegetarians. We're Krishnatarians. We eat what Krishna eats. If Krishna ate A, B, C, D, and E, then we would eat that. But Krishna says, patra puspam palam toyam, yome bhakta prayachati. If you offer him with devotion, and then he lists what he eats, and then the different padatis, or manuals, if you will, for worshiping the deity, give. Here's what can be offered to the deity. Here's what can be offered to Krishna. So Krishna eats that, so we eat that. So an example is there. By that example of going in the break room at your place of work, and of course none of you have a place of work, but you will at one point in your life, the example is set by what you do and don't do there. So this is what we can learn from this particular verse here today. Having equipped himself with austere penance, adoration, mental concentration, and absorption and devotion, accompanied by dispassion and having controlled his senses, Brahma, the self-born living creature, evolved great sages as his beloved sons. Why were they beloved sons? Because they executed the principles of devotional service as he enunciated them and as he gave them to them. So we'll finish there. Not a very long purport, not a very elaborate verse, but some very key points that can be understood and taken from this. Anyone has any comments or questions? Pani? Hold on a second. Let me adjust mine as you adjust yours. Go right ahead.
You define dispassion in contrast with passion, and there's also compassion. So how does this package work?
Well, passion is one. What's that? Passion is one of the modes of nature which are not so beneficial for us. Dispassion means to be free from the influence of that, and compassion means to have mercy on others by distributing Krishna consciousness to them, being an example in Krishna consciousness in our own life like that. Pretty basic. Probably not the answer you were looking for. You know much more than me anyway. Anyone else? No? Okay. Well, we'll finish there for today. Let us, as we go about our day, try to remember how, when we face the obstacles, follow Brahma's example. He refocused himself, reflected on the qualities that he needed, and then manifested what was good for himself like that. So, thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.